Hey, everybody, welcome to Trinity. My name is Pastor Steve. I have the privilege of serving as the lead pastor here at the church, and I'm so thankful that you joined us today for our message content. Before we jump into God's word, would you join your heart with mine as we pray together? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you now as we open up your word to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the veil of the cross and to know that the words that are spoken today, to know that the message content is honoring and pleasing to you, and it's the desire of your heart, Lord, that it would penetrate deep within ours. So, Lord, I pray now that our ears, our eyes, our minds, our hearts would be open, receptive to hear from you today. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, we are completing our series today, I'm In. And over the last 4 weeks, we've had the opportunity to dive into the four qualities that my hope is to help create a true identity of who you are in Christ. Now, each one of these words started with the letters I-N. And we went through, what does it mean to be invaluable? You're invaluable to God, and you're invaluable in the kingdom of God. What does it mean to be influential? To know that you have influence over people. You have influence over those around you. And that influence can be both negative or positive. And last week we talked about what does it mean to be invested? And we're not talking about just invested financially, but we're talking about being invested in our time, our talent, and our treasure. And how does God see that investment in his kingdom? And then today we're going to talk about what does it mean to be invited. So we're going to jump right in. And the format is going to give you an opportunity a couple of different times throughout the message to stop and pause and to dialogue and discuss from our talk sheets. So I encourage you, if you have the opportunity, download the talk sheet. It's available right on the site where you're watching this, or there's a link to go to the site so you can download the talk sheet. And if you're a family that's gathering together, then we encourage you to download the family edition. So again, it's right at the bottom of the Trinity Anywhere page, and you can just hit the plus button. You'll see Trinity Anywhere or the talk sheet for families for today. So again, my hope is that we will be experiencing this all together. So what does it mean to be invited? What does it mean to be inviting? I mean, to be invited is something that God desires for every person. He invites us to be a part of the family of God. Now, you probably noticed my really cool shirt, and thank you to Steve and Cheryl LeGrand, who gave this shirt to me, and they gave it to me saying, you know, Pastor, you've been talking so long about the church not being about a building and about the people being the church and going out into our communities, our neighborhoods, and our families, that they saw this shirt, and they said, we've got to get that for Pastor. And what's really interesting about this shirt is actually it's a play on words of what Elvis would experience when during his concerts or after his concerts. In fact, J.D. Sumner and the Stamps was his backup singers. And one of the members of the Stamps Quartet would be the one who would say, when Elvis had left the building, he would say, Elvis has left the building. And it was a reminder to everybody that came to the concert that you're not going to see Elvis anymore. He's not going to come back out and do an encore. You're not going to be able to find him hanging around the building outside. He was gone. And so basically the announcer would say, Elvis has left the building. And it was a way of saying, go home. Go home. You're not going to find Elvis here anymore. And the same is true for the church. You're not going to find the church in a building. You're not going to find the church is only a building. It's the people. And so there's an opportunity to take the message content and to be the church and to leave the building. Go home and be the church. You're not going to find the church here anymore because the church has left the building to go and to live it out according to how God desires for you to live that out in your kingdom context. So it's really amazing. I just want to encourage you, go home and be the church. Have you ever not been invited to something? I hate not being invited to things. It's like It hurts. And maybe you've experienced this, that you've realized that there was a gathering that happened and you were not invited. Or maybe you've experienced this where you've been on Facebook or Instagram and you see a group of people together and you realize that you're not there. And that's hurtful. So like in like seventh grade, every weekend there was a party. You know, these weren't like big parties or anything. They were typically like gatherings of friends in parents' basements with like dark wood paneling and green carpets, right? But it was a party. And I always knew when I wasn't invited to the party because I would show up at school on Monday and everybody would be talking about this party that happened and I wasn't there. Or you walk into the group and they're all like, oh, wait, we can't talk about it. You know, because, oh, Steve wasn't there. I hated that. I'm pretty sure that you hated that too. Or you probably hate that even now, not being invited. And speaking of inviting, I know that this is a big deal for you, especially when you invite people to church. And the reason why I know this is a big deal is because you tell me. Typically, it's a kind of like a warning before the service starts. And it's, you know, hey, pastor, I want to let you know I invited my friend to church today, or I invited my neighbor to church, or it's I invited my family member to church. And then it usually follows up with another comment that's, so make sure you're good today. Like, don't mess this up. Like, and you know, and I don't take offense to that. I think it's really great. I love the fact that you invited somebody to church. That's a big step. And so for me, I love that kind of almost like a challenge, like, you know, don't mess up. You know, to be honest with you, it really doesn't rely that much on me. God has an amazing way to take care of those who and the message that they hear. And so I think it's really great. Now, if you're a person that is has been invited, or if maybe today you've been invited, I want you to know something. Your friend or your neighbor or your family member, they care about you. And they care about it, your experience. And that's why they come to me and they're like, dude, don't mess up, man. Make sure it's a good one. Because they want you to have a wonderful experience. Because the truth is, you're not having a wonderful experience just listening to me. I hope you do. But you're having a wonderful experience with God as you come in relationship and community with Him. So it's kind of funny when we think about that dynamic. A friend of mine actually shared a story about a young lady who was invited to church, and she got out of her car and she started walking towards the building, and people immediately noticed that there was something different about this young lady. It was the summertime, so she was wearing a tank top, and she had full sleeve tattoos, both sides, you know, full sleeve. I mean, just all her whole arm was the tattoo, and the same thing on both arms. And as she made her way into the building, and as she got her place, somebody actually came up to her in the sanctuary and said, hey, do you by chance have another shirt that you could put on over top? And I have to tell you, when the pastor shared this story with me, you know, he had tears in his eyes. He was devastated because this young lady who was invited by a friend, both the young lady and the friend, they left, they walked out the door. And the friend eventually came back but was mortified. The pastor was mortified. The pastor reached out to the friend to say, you know what, that's not the representation of who we are, and please come back. But the friend said no. And that's devastating to me, to think that somebody wouldn't come back, and the young lady left crying, the pastor was upset. I mean, just sharing the story with me, the friend was upset. And maybe you've felt that before. Maybe you have felt judged. Maybe you have felt like you weren't invited, or that you're unwanted, or that you're ashamed or rejected. And I want to tell you something that's one of the most important messages that I can give you about not only the gospel message, but the message of the love of Christ and the truth of the gospel of Jesus. And that's this. Jesus invites people others rejected. Jesus invites people others rejected. He invited those who felt unwanted, unloved. He invited those and still invites those who feel rejected or uninvited or ashamed. And you can look all throughout Scripture. In fact, there's Scripture after Scripture that says that he did not come for the healthy. He says it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but it's the sick. You can look throughout Scripture and you can see that his heart breaks for those who are being pushed aside or marginalized. And he desires for them to come into relationship with him. And so he invites them into relationship with him. And we have to remember that Jesus invites people others reject. You are invited into the family of God. Just recently, I've been reading in my personal devotional time in 1 Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles, it tells the story of David as he's king. But we have to remember where David started. He started out, he was rejected. He was rejected as the king. And David, people didn't pay attention to him. He was a shepherd boy. And it wasn't that he was even rejected as king because God anointed him as king, but he was rejected as who he was as a shepherd multiple times. In fact, Samuel was the prophet that was sent out to anoint the next king of Israel after Saul. And he came to Jesse, and Jesse had all these really good-looking sons. In fact, the first son that Samuel saw was Eliab. And when he saw Eliab, Samuel literally said out loud, "Surely this is the guy." He was tall, dark, and handsome. And what was amazing is we read what happens in 1 Samuel 16, 17, and the Lord spoke to Samuel, and he said, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart." Man, I'll tell you, aren't you thankful for that today? Aren't you thankful that the Lord looks at the heart? We'll give you a little bonus material here. Do you know why George Washington became our first president? One of the primary reasons why George Washington was selected to be the leader and why he eventually became the president was because he was a British man who was 6'2". I know you might be thinking, wait a minute, no, he was an American, he wasn't British. Folks, listen, the American Revolution was fought between the British versus the British, and the winners called themselves Americans. So George Washington towered over all these tiny British people. And when they saw this Virginian coming in and walking through, they were blown away by this stature, because even then the world judged by the outward appearance. And it's important for us to remember that that is not the way God judges. He looks at the heart. This is a good place for us to stop. We're going to pause. And if you're using the talk sheet, I want you to go to the started out portion of the talk sheet and begin a dialogue and have a conversation about what does this mean, and begin to kind of process a little bit as you start the conversation together. If you want to continue in the message content, just wait 5 seconds and then the video will continue automatically. So now I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 7. So in Luke chapter 7, we find one of the most important moments in Jesus's ministry. And Luke tells us the details of that moment. So let me give you a little bit of context as you are starting to turn there to Luke chapter 7. I hope you are using God's word, whether that's your Bible or it's on your phone. If you need a Bible, we want to make sure you get one. And so contact the church office, Trinity Nazarene, trinity@trinitynazarene.org. Just say Bible in the message line, and we will make sure to get one to you. So we just love God's word, even now going from this place. So let me give you a little context. Simon was a Pharisee, and Pharisees were very, you know, regal. They wore bright robes, and they prayed really big prayers, and they were the smartest of the intelligent of the religious leaders. And Simon invited Jesus over to a banquet. Now, it's probably was a meal that came after synagogue. So when they would gather together in synagogue, they would have a meal together afterwards. And Simon probably invited Jesus and said, "Hey, come and be my guest." And we know that these meals would take place in outer rooms of Simon's, you know, kind of house. And the outer room was there because people would hang out in the doorways and the windows, and they would listen to the conversation of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees would know that people were listening. And so they would would like, wax theologically, and they would talk all these big terms, and they would make themselves sound so important. And oftentimes, you would have uninvited guests that would make their way into the banquet, and they would sneak in. And so the servants would be, told to make sure they usher the uninvited guests out. Well, in this particular moment in Jesus' ministry, as Luke tells us, a very uninvited guest shows up. So let's pick up the story here in Luke chapter 7, verse 37. When a certain immoral woman, now let me tell you, that is code for town prostitute. That's all that means. A certain immoral woman, town prostitute, is literally what they're saying here. From that city heard that he was eating there, that he here is Jesus. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Now, I want you to understand something. Her presence made everybody in the room unclean. So her presence alone, walking in, the town prostitute walking into the house of a Pharisee and the room of a Pharisee, immediately made everybody in the room unclean. That's the measure of what was happening in this moment. And the Pharisees were mortified. They were outraged. They would have demanded that she be removed. But the Pharisees were waiting because they wanted to see, how is Jesus going to handle this situation? And they actually became more outrageous for what Jesus would allow next. Look at this, verse 38 and 39. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Now, this might be interesting to you to think that she knelt behind him at his feet, because we tend to think that they sat in chairs and with a table in front of them. They did not. They reclined. So Jesus' feet would have been out from the side of him, and she would have been behind him anointing his feet. Now, that's important because that was a position of shame. She didn't want to come in front of Jesus because she didn't want Jesus to look at her. Instead, she was at his feet as he reclined at the table. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Now, this is culturally unacceptable. A Jewish woman was never allowed to unbind her hair. And so she would have been not only making everybody unclean, but now she is doing things that are ceremonially and also culturally just completely unacceptable. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner." So Simon had already made up in his mind, he already concluded that Jesus wasn't a prophet and he sure wasn't God, because if he was, he would never have allowed this woman, a prostitute, to touch him. She's a sinner. And he had already made a decision about who she was as well. And I love this because Jesus, what he does next, he's kind of like, "Hey, guess what, buddy? I am God, because I know your thoughts. I know what you're thinking." He's like, "Nanner, nanner, I'm God, bro." And so he literally is about to throw down with Simon, this Pharisee. And he says, while looking at the woman, Jesus tells this story. Now, the story that Jesus is going to tell, I'm going to just kind of summarize for you. It's actually a parable of forgiveness. So Jesus is looking at the woman, but he's speaking to Simon. And he tells him this story. He basically tells him that there's two men with debt. Both of them have debt. One has a very large size debt, and one is really actually pretty insignificant. It's the difference between 500 silver coins and 50 silver coins. Now, Jesus asks a really important question. Luke 7:42 tells us, "But neither of them could repay him." Neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debts. Now, here's something that's really interesting about this. For me, it's this word, kindly. Jesus is saying that the person who is forgiving the debt kindly forgave the debt. That's not typically how people forgive debt. Reluctantly, absolutely, but kindly? Now, the reason why Jesus includes this is because he is revealing the character of God. That even when you owe God, he deals with you kindly toward your forgiveness. That's the character of God. He desires to forgive your debt. And no matter if your debt is 500 pieces of silver or 50 pieces of silver, debt is debt. And God desires to kindly forgive it. So Simon answers correctly when Jesus says, who do you think experienced more forgiveness? Or who do you think was more forgiven? And Simon answered, the one with the larger debt. And it wasn't about the forgiveness. It was about their experience of forgiveness. And so Jesus then continues in verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, again, he's turning to the woman, but he's talking to Simon. He says, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. Now, let me tell you about the perfume. The perfume is significant. It was a large sum of money. In fact, it was a year's worth of money. In other gospel accounts, even the disciples are like, why would she do that? It's what a waste. But the perfume is important because she gave up in that moment when she broke the alabaster jar and when she poured that perfume over Jesus and over his feet, she gave up her past, her present, and even her future. Because in that moment, that jar of alabaster or the alabaster jar of perfume was probably purchased with dirty money. It was probably purchased with the money that she received from prostitution. And in that moment, she was symbolically saying, I give that to you, Jesus. And then she also gave him this her present, because in that moment, she said, God, I'm all yours. She said, Jesus, I'm all yours. And she had no stability for her financial future because in her mind, she was going to give up being a prostitute. And so she was giving everything over to Jesus in that moment. And she says, I give you my past, my present, and my future. I trust it all to you. That's what was represented in the gift of the perfume and what was broken in that alabaster jar. Let's continue. Verse 47, I tell you, her sins, and they are many. Jesus doesn't negate the fact that she had many sins. He says, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. He tells her the reason why she is showing me this love is because her sins are forgiven. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. Now, I want you to notice something. She never prayed a prayer. She didn't go through a prayer of confession or repeat after me. It was her actions of giving over and surrendering to Christ. And in that moment, God knew her heart. She never said anything. She showed it by who she was. And here's something that I want you to hear me say this morning or this afternoon or this evening, whenever you're watching this. Love is the evidence that a person has received forgiveness. And the more people are forgiven, the more it will be evident by their love. I want you just to take that in a second. Take that in. Hear these words again. Love is the evidence that a person has received forgiveness. And the more people are forgiven, the more it will be evident by their love. When you realize that you don't even deserve God's love, but he gives it to you anyway, then you turn around and you show that love and that forgiveness on those around you because you have been forgiven and experiencing that love and that goodness. And to know that the evidence of your forgiveness is seen in the way that you love others around you. Let's stop here for a moment. And I want you to turn and do the talk it out portion of the guide. And I want you just to kind of allow yourself to think about what does that look like in your life? And again, if you're watching this with a group, this is where you're going to pause, dialogue, discuss, and then when you're ready as a group, continue by pressing play. If you want to continue through just the message content, then wait 5 seconds and I'll come back and join you then. So here, as we close, I want us to think about, what does this mean? What does this mean to us? You know, I've always wondered, why did she come to Jesus? Is it because of something she heard? Is it because of something that she experienced? Maybe she saw it herself. Obviously, she knew that Jesus had the power to forgive, and that's why she was able to come to him, and that's why she came to him. But when you do a little bit more digging in the scripture, Luke actually tells us, he doesn't tell us why she came, but when we read the Gospels together, we can actually see what could be or what could have been the message that she heard and potentially on that same day that drove her to do what she did. Now, again, when we put all the content of the scripture together, Luke 7 actually in that chapter mentions John the Baptist sending his disciples and asking Jesus, are you the Messiah? Now, when we look at the other passages in the other Gospels about where that conversation falls, in Matthew, it's actually chapter 11. When we look in Matthew chapter 11, we also find the parallel that what else Matthew chapter 11 says happened that day. So, do you want to know what Jesus potentially preached on that day that this woman heard and led her to do what she did for Jesus in the home of a Pharisee, knowing that she could have been actually killed for her actions? So this is an amazing thing. Matthew actually tells us what Jesus preached on the same day. And it's again, potentially the message that she heard. Now, I can't take any credit for finding this within scripture. I actually learned this from Pastor Craig Rochelle. And this is the thing that really blew my mind when I was looking at this teaching. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry a heavy burden, and I will give you rest.'" Look at these words. Come to me. When we look at what the potential message was that Jesus preached on that day that this woman heard that drove her to do what she did for Jesus in the home of a Pharisee when she would have been considered almost as good as dead because of her actions, she heard potentially Jesus on that day say, "Come to me. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Or do you need rest?" He was speaking a language of love. And he says to her, and he says to the people that were listening, and he says to us today, come to me. He says, come to me. All you are wrecked. All you are broken, ashamed, the uninvited, all that have a past, all that have made mistakes, all that are tired, all that are rejected, all that religion has turned away. Come to me, those who maybe have experienced a person in a church that said something so dumb because they based their relationship with on God with what we wear instead of our heart. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. If you've lost hope, he says, come to me. If you have nothing left, he says, come to me. Matthew 11, verse 29 continues, he says, take my yoke upon you. The yoke that's mentioned here is actually teaching. That's what yoke meant in the scripture during this time. He says, take my teaching upon you. Let me teach you. Don't listen to the noise of everybody else around you. They don't have an idea. They don't have a clue of what they're talking about, but I do, and I love you, and I want a relationship with you, and you are invited to be in my Father's family. And he says, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Aren't you thankful for that? You will find rest for your souls. I want you to notice something about this story, something that is so important for each of us to recognize, whether we're in the position of a Pharisee or in the position of an onlooker or the position of the prostitute who is anointing Jesus's feet. I want you to notice something. The woman's sins, by pointing them out, didn't lead her away from her sin. Pointing towards it and saying, hey, you're a prostitute and you need to knock it off. That's not what saved her. And in fact, judging her for her lifestyle didn't change her lifestyle. Think about this. Shaming her didn't set her free. And unfortunately, for so many, those are three tactics that we use to try to convert people. We use pointing out, and we use judgment, and we use shame. And none of those things is anything that Jesus used. Jesus never denied that she was a sinner. Jesus never denies that we are a sinner. In fact, we're all sinners, he says, and we are in need of a Savior. We're in need of grace. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And the Pharisees in that moment were so wrong because Jesus was looking at them and he was saying, you have judged her. And the reason why she loves me is because she is forgiven. And the reason why she is even in this position is because she believes the words that are spoken, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm telling you, think about this. The question that we need to ask ourselves this morning is, what changed her? What changed her? What made her go through this incredible transformation and come to Jesus and pour out her past, pour out her present, and pour out her future on his feet? The answer is, an invitation to experience God's love. That's what changed her. God's love. And an invitation to that love. I want to speak to you this morning. If you are in recognizing that you have made mistakes, that you've been rejected, that you feel unloved, unwanted, if you're ashamed, you can come to Jesus because he invites you in today. If you're a person that has a relationship with Christ and you've been walking with him and journeying with him and you've been learning from him and you would call yourself a Christian or a disciple or a believer, a follower, stop using shame. Stop using guilt. Stop pointing out the plank or stop pointing out the speck in somebody else's eye when you've got a plank in your own. Instead, invite those around you into an experience of God's love. Make your opportunity to love those around you today. Make the opportunity, find the opportunity this week to show God's love to those who are much forgiven, then much love will exude from them. You have the opportunity this week to experience God's love. And I just want to pray with you that maybe you're at that moment and you're saying, I know that I'm invited, but I want to take that step. Let me tell you, don't make it difficult. I say this all the time. We make salvation harder than it is. This woman, she went through this process of emptying out everything that she was, everything else, emptying out everything that she would be. And that's exactly all you need to do is take that step. Scripture says if you believe that Christ died for you and that Jesus was raised, that God raised him from the dead, then salvation has come to you. If you testify with your mouth that Jesus died for you and that God raised him from the dead, then salvation has come to you. Just take that step today to start the relationship with him. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, and Lord, we come in all humility. We come with consecration in our heart. Lord, each of us this morning carries an alabaster jar filled with our lives. And Lord, it doesn't matter the past mistakes. It doesn't matter even the present moment of what we have done, right or wrong. What matters is, are we willing to pour it out at your feet? Are we willing to say, God, I believe that when you say, come to me, that we can come to you. And it's not as anybody would have us, but it's as we are. So Jesus, I pray that there would be those who are listening to this message and they are saying the same today. They're saying, God, I want to come to you. I want to begin this journey with you. And I don't even have to say anything, Lord, but I'm going to live it out by my actions. I'm going to give you my past. I'm going to give you my present. And Lord, I have no guarantee for the future, but I'm going to give that to you too. Lord, I pray for those of us who are in a position of being the church today. Lord, let us invite those around us to experience your love. Lord, I pray that you would continually bring people to us that we can show your love to. And Lord, help us to plant seeds. Help us to be a constant reminder that because we are forgiven, we forgive. And because we have been so forgiven, we are going to show it, that evidence of our forgiveness by the way that we love. And so Jesus, we boldly come before you today, praying that you would help us because you told us that your burden is light and that you desire to teach us. And I thank you for that promise today. It's your name, Lord, that we pray all these things. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us. I pray that if for you today, if you took that step of following Jesus, would you do us a favor and let us know? Go to our website. You can find our email addresses there. Go to trinitynazarene.org or go to our Facebook page or in the comment section, wherever you're viewing this content. If that's you today, let us know. We want to celebrate with you. We want to put in your hands resources that are going to help walk through the next phases of your spiritual journey. And most importantly, we just, again, want to celebrate what God is doing in your life because you are invited today. Again, thanks for joining us and have a wonderful rest of your week.